This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us through the Quran and explains to us what to expect in terms of unity and disunity. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعْلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and if your Lord had willed, He could have made all of mankind one single community, but in fact they will never cease to differ except for whom your Lord has given mercy and He created them for that. This ayah is packed with wisdom and subtlety. One of them is that we see that Allah Azza wa Jalla is setting us up for reasonable expectations. He is showing us what to expect. That disunity and discord and disagreement and strife is built into the creation no matter how hard you work or I work or we attempt to eradicate our ummah, our neighborhood, our nation, our world from disagreement and disunity, that it will always exist. And this is part of Allah's will, and this will has wisdom behind it. He says, وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. And there's a double meaning going on here, meaning that he said, first of all, that this will afflict everybody except who Allah has mercy upon. So he's showing us that we are to be united, and there are many other ayats in the Quran that demonstrate that to us, and that it, to be united is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he created us for this mercy. But also a second meaning is that he created us for this test. For this test of disagreement, for this test of difference. How are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do in response to it? And how are we going to proceed from there? Will we pass this test? If you look into the prophetic sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made du'at, and you always know to pay special attention to the du'at that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, because he is teaching you. He is teaching you through his du'a what are the good things to ask for and what are the things that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for four things, and this was done in a masjid that's referred to by that masjid al-ijaba, that the Prophet's prayers were being answered in this masjid. However, on this particular occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam three, not four, of the things that he asked for. Do you know what was the thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah azza wa jal for, but Allah said no? It was unity. It was that this ummah would stay together and would never split apart and would never fight one another. And he informed his companions that Allah azza wa jal said no. He did not grant us that. So we know that this is something we are to seek unity, and yet it is something that is always evading us. It is always something just out of our grasp, partly because the wisdom, as we said, is that Allah is testing us to see how we deal with it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said in another hadith, and this is a very well-known hadith, that once the sword is unsheathed from one Muslim against another, that it will not be put back into that sheath until the day of judgment. Informing us and again setting our expectations that this, some of the disagreements and disunity we have, are actually going to reach the level of bloodshed. that this is something that we should not despair about necessarily. It's wrong. We try to fix it, but we don't have a crisis of faith because Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to expect this. This is the dunya. If we look into the causes, we ask ourselves, how, if our task at hand is to respond to this disunity and this fracturing, we have to have an assessment. Just like you go to the doctor, you have symptoms. You want to understand what's the diagnosis. What is the cause of these symptoms that I experience, the fever and the runny nose and the headaches? We need to look into the causes of the disunity to understand them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting that we fight against them to the best of our ability while realizing that it will never be completely successful. There's two causes you'll find, and the ulama have said this in the books. If you look behind disunity, you'll usually find two causes. One of them is transgressiveness, transgressing, going beyond what is right, going beyond what is fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْتَاهُمَا. If one of them, بَغَى, al-baghi, is someone who goes too far, who takes things too far, they left the limits that they were supposed to abide by. And we'll explain that ayah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do in this situation in a moment. How do we respond to such a person? Somebody who won't listen to reason, somebody who's going to take things too far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to fight it with taqwa, with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In those ayat, in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah azza wa jal tells us that our priority is sulh, is to bring them back together. إِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believers are nothing else if not brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. So make sulh between your brothers, mend the differences between your brothers, unify, come together to fix the disunity as much as possible, and fear Allah. That this is what we need to do it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once said to his companions as they were gathered around him, help your brother, oppressor or oppressed. And the companions, they were confused. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand very, very clearly how we can help someone if they are oppressed, but how do we help someone if they are an oppressor? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, you help him by preventing him from oppressing others. So the first cause of disunity is al-baghi, is taking things too far, transgressiveness. But there's another cause that's equally important to pay attention to, and that is ignorance, al-jahl, ignorance of the deen, not understanding what is truly the disunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in this ayat that we're supposed to minimize, and not understanding what's the normal expected amount of variety and differences that exist within our ummah. If you don't have knowledge of this deen, if you are ignorant, then you will either fall to one extreme or the other. You will either have the attitude of anything goes, and so we can have female imams and leading the salah and things that were unknown to the salaf and things that are clear innovation and heresy. That's one extreme. But there is another extreme, and that is not being able to differentiate valid differences of opinion from true disunity. Erecting artificial barriers, seeing any little difference, whether where you put your hands in salah or how high you raise them when you make takbir, or do you wag your finger or point it straight or wait just for that one instance, and saying, this is the same disunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, we must eradicate it. These are two different things. And you need ilm, you need knowledge of your deen in order to differentiate between the differences that we are expected to tolerate and live with and be okay with, and the differences that are truly threatening to our unity as Muslim brothers and sisters. If we look at the ulama, we see examples of how they tolerated certain differences. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he was of the opinion that when you sit or you stand in salah and you lead salah, you do not recite the basmala in Surah Al-Fatiha. You say it quietly to yourself, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and then you begin, Alhamdulillah. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was of the opposite of opinion. He said, no, you have to yajhar al-basmala. You have to say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, when you start Surah Al-Fatiha. So when Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was traveling in lands that were dominated by people that were students of a Shafi'i and followed a Shafi'i's fiqh, he would follow Imam Shafi'i's opinion. He would not make a stink about it. He would not say, I'm not going to go pray in that masjid because they do not follow my opinion in this mas'ala. There's other examples where Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, someone would come to him for a fatwa or for qada, they would come to him for a ruling. And he had an opinion and he knew that Fulan, Sheikh Fulan, another scholar down the road, had a different opinion. And he would send him to the other one. He would say, don't take my opinion on this, take this from Sheikh Fulan down the street. We need to be able to differentiate. We need to have enough nuance to tell the difference between the types of disagreement and disunity that threaten us as an ummah and the types of disagreements or differences that actually strengthen us. I'll go over three types of differences today. The first type of difference that exists in our ummah are differences that are not even disagreements. Yes, differences that are not even disagreements. They are simply variety. They are simply doing something right and perhaps doing something even more right. They are even, maybe we could say, priorities. Maybe one takes priority over the other, but they're both correct. Examples of this include the opening dua when you make your prayer. There are multiple narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would change it up. And so is this one thing right and one thing wrong? No, this is acceptable variety. Another example is the qira'at, the modes of recitation. We have it authentically narrated, Maliki Yawmiddin and Maliki Yawmiddin. This is acceptable variety, both of them completely correct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not difference, this is not disunity, this is not fitna. This is acceptable variety that exists in our deen. Similarly, if we look and apply this logic to ourselves, not everyone can do the exact same thing. Some of you are built in a certain way with certain skills, and so your contribution to the community will not look like the contribution of somebody else. Not every single one of us has to leave our jobs and go study abroad, the deen, and understand Arabic, etc. Some of you are going to be like Uthman, the financier of the masjid, of the program, of the personnel, whatever has to be done. Others are going to be like Umar. They are tough and they can handle people out in a public confrontation. Others of you are going to be like Abu Bakr. This is variety. Some of you are going to be more inspired by, just like we're inspired by different acts of worship, some of you prefer salah to sawm. Some of you prefer tahajjud. Some of you prefer charity. This is normal variation that we have to accept. If any one of you once prefers activism or community organization or knowledge or finance, these are all perfectly acceptable ways to be, and in fact, we need all of it. We need all of it. We cannot stand up without all of it. That was the first type of differences. They're not even disagreements. The second type are, yes, they're disagreements, but the disagreements are valid. And therefore they are impossible to settle, and you and I in the Hijri year of 1445, or 2023 in the common era, we're not going to solve them. They've been unsolved up until then. This is the disagreements that existed between the madhahib, the schools of fiqh. We had an auntie, mashallah, last night at Georgia Tech. We were giving a talk at Georgia Tech, and we had to explain. She was like, why, it's a common doubt. Why can't we just all unite on Quran and Sunnah and everybody do the same thing? It sounds nice, doesn't it? But if you look even in the ulama, they had differences. And these differences are legitimate and valid. Some of those differences have to do with authenticity. Obviously, there's things that everybody agrees on. The Quran is, all of it is authentic, alhamdulillah. We also have one of the brothers, if you could please, sorry, scoot up. We need people, we need room at the back. So please, if you're able to, scoot up. There are legitimate differences in the authenticity of some hadith. Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, everybody knows that these are authentic, but when you get into the Sunan, some of the hadith, there's a difference of opinion. Is this authentic or not? You have scholars on each side. So some scholars might hold that a certain hadith is authentic, and others say that no, that's not authentic, and it will affect their fiqh. It will affect whether you raise your hands this high, or whether you hold here, or here, or here, etc., etc. After authenticity, another reason that the ulama disagreed in this type of disagreement is due to interpretation, and this is what we were telling the auntie last night. Do you know that in Surah An-Nisa and in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the process of wudu, and he uses وَمْسَحُ بِرُؤُسِكُمْ, that single letter, حَرْفَ الْبَأْ, the single letter, every madhab has a different opinion as to what this letter means. Does it mean that when you wipe over your head in wudu, it means all of the head? Does it mean most of the head? Does it mean some of the head? Or does it mean just the smallest thing that you could even refer to as the head? You find Abu Hanifa saying one thing, that it means one third of the head. And Malik saying, no, two thirds. And Ahmed saying all of it. And Ash-Shafi saying the smallest bit. This is acceptable difference. It's justified. It is Quran. If you look in their arguments, it's all Quran and Sunnah and Lugha. The same evidence. But there's a difference in interpretation. These differences of interpretation are valid, and we must accept them, and we must tolerate them within our ummah. This is not the type of disunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blames and asks us to fight. And the final one is the application. How do we apply? We take the Quran and we take the Sunnah, but we have to apply it in real time. Somebody comes into the masjid, and they're interested in Islam, but they're not dressed properly. They're covered in different things. They may use drugs. This is real life, dawah. How do you interact with those situations? Yes, there's going to be difference in how we apply the guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to allow a certain amount of gray area with these types of differences in between the ulama, and this is acceptable difference. And these are things that we should tolerate and understand, and even at times celebrate. There was an uncle in our community up in central New York, which is called Utica. A lot of Yemenis up there. And we also have a lot of Burmese. So the Yemenis typically follow the Shafi'i madhab, and the Burmese tend to follow the Hanafi madhab. One Eid prayer, a Yemeni uncle went to pray Eid Salah with the Burmese. And as you might know, the Hanafi Eid Salah is very different from the Jumhur. You make the takbirat after you come up from the ruku'. So the poor uncle was very confused. And he came back to the masjid later that day, and he was very upset. Does my salah count? I don't know what that was. I never seen it before. And I said, ya Ammi, come on to the books. We have the books of the Salaf and the statements of the companions, and we found the companions doing the same thing. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu used to pray in the way that the Hanafis follow for the Eid prayer. This is difference that we have to accept and we have to tolerate it. It is not a mark of disunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would find blameworthy. The third and final type of disagreement that we will go over today are inexcusable disagreements. Things that conflict Islam in what is agreed upon in Islam. This is not acceptable. When it comes to the belief that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger, there is no other opinion than that. It is not acceptable to believe that someone else after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet or messenger in any form. To have five prayers every day is something that is agreed upon by all the scholars of this ummah, bel, all of the awam, all of the generality of this ummah. So if someone is to come today and say that, no, you know, one is enough, I pray when I feel like it, or for that person who is recounting their dreams that people are calling the Mahdi, I'll wait until Allah tells me to pray five times a day. This is something that is an inacceptable, unexcusable difference of opinion. This is something that is outside the fold of Islam and something that contradicts Islam entirely. And I would wonder for those people how the supposed Mahdi could not pray five times a day. When it comes to the LGBTQ agenda and people pushing this on our children, in our communities, in our schools, they are challenging things that are agreed upon in our deen, that have no room for disagreement or for a second opinion. The idea that same-sex relationships are actually okay, that the story of Lut alayhi salam is somehow being misinterpreted, completely outside of our deen, completely unacceptable, and not even a very intelligent argument. Rather, this is an argument that they borrowed from the Christians. The idea that intersex people, people that you find in the fiqh books, who were born with certain abnormalities, are the same as trans people choosing to change their sexual organs. This is an inexcusable difference, a blameworthy difference, a difference that cuts at the root of Islam and all that we find holy. And it's not something that we can tolerate. It's not something that we can call Islam. Call your deen something else, but it's not Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that we have an anchor in history. And that anchor keeping us tethered to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is the understandings of the Salaf as-Salih, the understandings of the companions, the understandings of the tabi'een. And so he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the best generation is my generation, and then the generation after me, and then the generation after me, and then he stopped. So are you going to tell me that someone coming in 2023 has a better understanding of the deen than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or his companions Abu Bakr, or Umar, or Uthman, or Ali, or the rest of the companions? Absolutely not. These are things that are agreed upon, that are settled in our deen, and any sort of difference is not acceptable in them. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله على إحساني وشكر له على توفيقه وامتناني وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه وأشهد أن نبينا وسيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وإخوانه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We have examples for how to handle difference, even the hard differences, and making distinctions between different types of differences from the Salaf, from the companions. Recall the hadith that I mentioned earlier, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the sword is taken out of its sheath in my ummah, Muslims killing other Muslims, it's not going to be put back until the day of judgment. We saw that happen. We know the fitna that happened between the companions and the story, you know, between Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. That was a horrible, terrible situation. And yet, they had loyalty between them. And yet, they differentiated between different types of differences during the heat of their disagreement. The Roman emperor sent a letter to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, asking him for his allegiance, saying, if you join forces with us, I will bring you the head of Ali on a plate. And how did Muawiyah react? He sent a very strong and angry message back, calling him the enemy of Allah, and saying that, no, I will actually rather deliver your head to Ali. Despite the differences that they had, despite the disagreements, despite the fitna, they had something, they had loyalty. What was that loyalty based upon? It was based upon those things that are agreed upon in Islam. The things that everybody knows, the things that are the subject of consensus. Even if they had differences and disagreements, and even if they were taken to the level of bloodshed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, is a possibility. He told us it's a possibility that they still had loyalty. And we today need that loyalty more than ever. Even if we disagree on things that are less significant than this, we have to maintain that loyalty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفَعْلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. Those who are kuffar, those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're allies of one another. They help each other out. They're buds. If you don't do the same, meaning if you don't gather, if you don't unite upon what is agreed upon in Islam, then there will be fitna on earth and great corruption. ثم صلوا وسلموا على نبي رحمة كما أمركم ربكم حيث قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك المؤمنين وجعل اللهم بلاد الإسلام آمنا مطمئنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات يا سميع الدعوات. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم والله يعلم ما تصنعون.